Morning, brothers and sisters and friends. When we look back over our lives, many of us can remember moments that felt ordinary at the time, but later proved to be important. A conversation that stayed with us, a responsibility we did not choose, a situation that forced us to slow down and think again about something. At the time, nothing seems special, but afterwards, when we looked back, we realized that God had been quietly shaping us through those moments. He was working in ways we did not see, guiding us gently and preparing us for something ahead. The scripture gives us a very human example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 9, which is one of the daily reading for today. And as described, actually, Ian described it is about the soul. Saul is not on a spiritual mission. He is not seeking God. He's simply walking through the countryside, trying to find his father's lost donkeys. It is the kind of task we might find frustrating. Hours of walking, no success, no clear direction, nothing seems meaningful. Saul thinks he's searching for animals, but God is preparing him for a meeting that will change his life. What looks like a pointless journey becomes the very path God uses to lead him to Samuel. Saul has no idea what is happening behind the scenes. At this point in his life, he cannot see where God is leading him. We know from the rest of the story that he would still have choices to make and lessons to learn. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we see God quietly guiding events to bring about his purpose. This is how God often works with us, not usually through dramatic signs, but through ordinary events, through the people around us, through the responsibilities we carry, through the unexpected turns in our path. Sometimes through a comment someone makes, maybe without thinking, sometimes through a difficulty that pushes us in a different direction, sometimes through a situation we would never have chosen for ourselves, a job that changed our direction, a difficulty that softened our heart, a person who encouraged us at the right moment, a failure that taught us humility. At the time, we didn't see God's hand, but later we realized he had been there all along. And even now, when life feels ordinary or confusing, God is still at work. He is shaping our character through the things we face each day, through the choices we make when no one is watching, through the patience we learn in difficulty, through the compassion we gain from our own struggles, through the compassion we gain from our own struggles. Often the lessons we learn in quiet places become the strengths we need in harder ones. But as important as God's guidance is, it cannot deal with our greatest problem. We do not just need direction in life, we need forgiveness. We need saving from sin. That is why our thoughts move from Saul's story in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and from Saul's journey to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Isaiah chapter 53, we meet the servant who carries the weight of human sin. The prophet describes him as a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief in chapter 53 of Isaiah and verse 3. In verse 5 and 6, he tells us, he was wounded for our transgressions, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. These words take us to the heart of our faith. Jesus didn't suffer because of his own wrongdoing. He suffered because of ours. He carried our failures. He bore our guilt. He stepped into our place, and he did it willingly, knowing exactly what it would cost him. Isaiah also says in verse 7, chapter 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Jesus accepted the path of suffering willingly. He did not fight against it. He did not defend himself. He trusted his Father completely. He walked the road of obedience, even when it led to pain, shame, and death. And he did it because he loved his Father. He did it because he loved us. When we take the bread and wine, we remember this. The bread speaks of his body broken for us. The wine speaks of his blood poured out for forgiveness. These emblems remind us that our hope is not based on our own goodness, but on what God has done through his Son. They remind us that love is more than words. True love gives, true love sacrifices, true love endures. Every week when we gather together around this table, we are reminded that our salvation rests not on our strengths, but on his. Scripture does not leave us looking only at the past. It also lifts our eyes to the future, to the day when God's purpose will be complete. As we read in Revelation chapter 15, we see a vision of believers that sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, saying in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 15, great and marvelous are your works, just and true are your ways. They praise God because they can finally see his purpose clearly. These are people who have endured. They have held on their faith through trial and difficulty, and now they stand in victory, singing a song that joined the past and the future. Moses and the Lamb, deliverance from Egypt and deliverance from sin. Then in next chapter, Revelation chapter 16 shows the world shaken by God's judgment. The systems built on human pride collapse. The powers that oppose God fall. A voice from heaven declares in Revelation 16, verse 17, it is done. These chapters remind us that the world is not simply drifting along. God is in control. History is moving toward the day when Jesus Christ will return. A day when wrong will put right. A day when the earth will be filled with God's glory. But these judgments also remind us to examine ourselves. They remind us that it matters whose side we are on. It matters what shapes our thinking and what guides our lives. The world around us often pulls us away from God, but we are called to stay faithful to Him. The faithful in Revelation stands on a picture of victory through struggle. Their faith was not formed in easy times, but they kept going when life was hard. They held on to God's promises and trusted Him through every trial. And we live in a world like that, a world that values pride more than humility, comfort more than sacrifice, self more than God. Yet we are called to follow Jesus, the one who trusted his Father completely, the one who remained faithful to the end, the one who endured suffering for the joy set before him. We are called to walk the same path, a path of trust, a path of patience, a path of faithfulness and hope. These passages teach us that God is working in our lives, even when we do not see it, we do not notice it. He guides us through ordinary days, He shapes us through experiences we do not always understand, and He does it with patience, wisdom, and love. They teach us to remember Jesus, not only His teaching, but His sacrifice. The one who bore our sins, the one who suffered for us, the one who gave His life so that we might be forgiven and brought near to God. And they teach us to live with hope. The world is moving toward the day when Jesus will return. Those who remain faithful will stand with Him. Those who follow Him will join in the song of victory. Those who belong to Him will see His face. And now, as we come now to the bread and wine, we are not remembering an idea. We remembering a person, Jesus, the Son of God. The one described in Isaiah 53, who was wounded for our transgressions. The one upon whom the Lord laid the iniquity of us all. The one who gave His body and poured out His blood so that we might be forgiven and brought near to God. We remember Him because He loved us. We remember Him because He obeyed His Father perfectly. And we remember Him because He is coming again. May God strengthen our faith, deepen our gratitude, and keep our hearts fixed on His Son until the day He returns. Amen.